Normally, we click open the inbox and read from your emails on Tuesdays, but we ran a little short on time yesterday, so this week, Wednesday, will be the day we read from your emails. And we begin with a clarification. We talked yesterday about the new comic book version of the 9/11 report. The full title is The 9/11 Report, A Graphic Adaptation. It's by Sid Jacobson and Ernie Colon. At the end of the program, I mentioned that the book is available at comic book stores, which is true, but more importantly, it's also available at most regular bookstores, too. And my apologies for the mix. A week ago, we spoke with Cuban exiles here in America about their response to the news of Fidel Castro's health problems, the temporary transfer of power in Havana, and what they planned to do if there was change back home. Leota Rush complained that we missed some key points. Exiles, she wrote, rarely mentioned that the dictatorship of Batista, preceding Castro, was a repressive government for the many poor who lived in Cuba. It was supported by the military, the lawyers, the doctors, the plantation owners, etc. There was a need for change, and that is what motivated Castro, albeit with a leftist political philosophy. The first exiles were those who fled Cuba after the revolution, who had supported and profited from the Batista regime. They were consumed with a return to Cuba that included the reinstatement of their wealth and the status quo. Since then, the Castro regime has imposed its own brand of suffering on the people of Cuba. But for exiles not to acknowledge that there was a population suffering greatly at the time of the revolution is shameful. Another listener in Lafayette, Colorado, emailed about our coverage of the controversy surrounding exhibits of human cadavers, like the one called Body Worlds. The exhibits used preserved human bodies, often posed in theatrical positions for public display. On the program, questions were raised about ethics and about respect for the dead, among others. Eric Belsey wrote, "Death has become generally so hidden and sanitized, I'm glad that we have respect for the dead, but I also think that we as a culture are terrified of this natural, inevitable process and want no reminders of this reality. This issue comes down to individual responsibility, that is, the informed consent of the donors and the personal choice to attend the exhibit. I'm glad these kinds of exhibits are flourishing, and I'm concerned when one group says that their attitudes towards death and the body are somehow more worthy of respect and mine are less so." We received this email from Joyce Smith in response to Jane Fowler's story about contracting HIV when she was in her 50s. "Please warn older adults about HPV virus dangers also. That's human papillomavirus." Joyce writes, "My story is identical to hers. A long-time monogamous marriage with a divorce at 60, a 5-year intimacy with a good friend who infected me with 2 severe strains of HPV, those which can lead to cervical cancer, which I am now battling." And 10 years ago yesterday, President Clinton signed a major overhaul of the welfare system into law. Last week, we talked about the changes over the past decade and whether welfare recipients were any better off. Angela Daum emailed from Cincinnati, Ohio, to tell us, "My father left my mother and I when I was only 6. My mother was unable to find a job because she lived in a city she was unfamiliar with, miles away from where she knew anyone. She had no choice but to go on welfare. Once we moved back to Cincinnati from Minnesota, my mother was able to get off welfare, find a job as a crossing guard, then as a kitchen worker at a convent, and then finally as a secretary at the university. I'm sure welfare can be a trap for some, but fortunately for my mother, it was a helping hand that she needed at a crucial time in her life. She was able to use it for its intended purpose." As always, if you have comments, questions, or corrections for us, the best way to reach us is by email. The address is talk@npr.org. Please let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name.